Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Buddy.
David.
I have been super pumped up since last night. What happened last night? We had two trade winds calls.
Joe
Mullen.
Yeah.
I'm not shitting.
He's on fire.
Dude, that dude is fired up.
Yeah.
His energy level and everything that was going on, like I was extremely pumped up.
That's good stuff.
Last night. And then this morning, we have the group call for Tradewinds. This isn't a Tradewinds pitch, but Keith Gauze is on.
Mm-hmm.
His company, Black Label Society.
Solutions.
See? Black Label Society. I told him right before the show. I was like, you know, he has, there's a band name, Black Label Society, right? Dude, he was awesome.
Yeah.
He talked for literally 50 minutes about how to use ChatGPT. And not only did, like, he shared his screen and ran, like, SOPs for the guys in Tradewinds. Like, hey, no, seriously. Like,
He
told Dan, he printed that. He's like, I'm going to send this to you right now.
Yeah.
Like, just send it to him. This SOP took 37 seconds.
Yeah.
It was freaking amazing.
Yep.
It was amazing. And like, we don't give free shout outs to companies on the show. You know, and I don't know why. We just don't. But seriously, Black Label Solutions, Keith Gauze.
Yep.
Is the fucking man.
It was cool.
It was great.
That's my
I'm still fired up about it.
That's my dude.
He put on there, anyone that was on the call this morning that didn't watch the recording gets like an hour free phone call for whatever. If he thinks I'm not fucking calling him.
Right. I was on that call.
Keith, I was on the call. I get my hour free, right?
What's funny is so I have monthly calls with him.
Yeah.
Because he helps us out in the business and he had to cancel our last one. And so we've been like, hey, are you available? Am I available?
Yeah,
like,
trying to make he's a busy son of a bitch.
I know.
He is.
Yeah. So we almost got on a call an hour before the group call this morning just to knock it out.
Knock it out. Yeah. Trying to rush stuff like that doesn't work.
Right.
He literally is, and this I'm not kissing his ass. He's one of the most like genuinely honest guys that's been really, really. Normally when we talk to guys that are really, really successful and you know that come and speak and they do all this different stuff, like you kind of get they have like a weird vibe to them, you know?
Yeah.
He's 100% like just one of us that's made it.
Yep.
He's fucking great, man.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I want him to be part of our group, but I know that's like impossible.
Right.
But he's just, it was great, man.
Yeah.
Still flying high
I'm
from that.
I'm going to have to let him know you were just swinging off his nuts here.
That's all right.
For first 10 minutes
of
the show.
You know what? Take the first 3:30, record, send it to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I text him after. I was like, man, hey, I really appreciate you, you know, and
yeah.
You know, he's grateful. He loves it. I think he comes from the same mindset that we do, that he's like, he just likes to help a lot. Like, hey, I want to make sure that we're all growing and in the same direction, you know?
Yeah.
Makes it great. Makes it easy to work with him.
The only way you're going to ever be successful in this world is if you add value. Like, it's that plain and simple.
I saw a cool thing on Facebook the other day that was when you light another candle, that your flame doesn't go out. Yep. I was like, oh my God, that's so good.
Yep.
I'm sure it's been out forever, but same thing.
Same context. Have you seen the one that shows the power of stepping away and it's a line of matches all lined up and they pull one down?
And so here's the flame. But that's good.
The flame going from match to match to match, and you step away, and the transition stops by you stepping away.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah, it was really good, man.
Yeah.
The last couple of days have been great. I feel great. I ratted myself out to the guys in the group, and on the podcast last time, that I was a lump and slug of a person.
Yeah.
But I've been working out twice a day for a week and a half. And I feel fantastic.
You're set.
I'm not set. You know, still got a long way to go, but I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for those that aren't in Tradewinds, like I do, we call it the Monday Motivational Podcast, and it's not a podcast. It's more or less like 5 to 10 minutes of me either telling people they're dumb or bitching or calling myself out for doing something stupid and right. trying to get, you know, some energy going. And on the last one, I just crushed myself. Yep. I was like, I am a worthless piece of shit right now. So like, you know, the trade wins isn't just, you know, rah, rah, tactical this. Sometimes it's like Ray put in the group the other day. He's like, you know what? I like this group because personally, like it just helps me sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I need to know that other people are going through the struggle and no one crushes themselves harder than me on those Monday motivationals.
That can be the problem with social media and anybody else. Like nobody brags about their shitty day.
Nah.
And most of the time, whenever people are talking about their shitty day, they're griping. They're not sharing, right?
Yeah.
They're like, this motherfucker cut me off. This douchebag doesn't pay his bills. You know, this, yeah. like that kind of stuff. Instead of like just being open and candid with the challenges of the day or the week or the month or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the perks of Tradewinds is you realize like, hey, everyone goes through these struggles too.
Yeah.
And you know, what comes after a mountaintop view is a big ass valley.
Yeah.
Right? So like just because you kicked ass last month, be ready to get kicked in the teeth this month because it's probably going to happen.
Like it's nice, you know, getting the realistic perspective of guys that are, you know, really struggling. You know right. what I mean? You don't, I know I just said this, but you don't feel like you're alone.
Right.
And guys that are new to the group, like they won't, you know, they won't put themselves out there for a while. They, you know, they're kind of feeling around and then they're like, oh, this is like a safe, honest place for me to be like, hey, I'm fucked up in this area.
Right.
How do I get help?
Right.
And it's like, you know, 10 guys will jump to their aid. Hey man, I was doing that this last month.
Yeah. I was doing this and
my
this
numbers
for me.
Were this, this sucked. You gotta like guys will straight call each other out. Dude, are you not working out?
Yeah.
Are you not taking care of yourself? Like what's going on?
Yeah.
It's a remarkable space.
Yeah.
It's because like we didn't think that was going to happen. We were like, oh, it's just going to be a group. They can share whatever. No, they've taken it the F over.
I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, whatever.
Well,
did you hear that?
Somebody's
tooting his own horn.
No, ooh. I'm a little bit more in tune with how social media.
I'm just fucking with you. You see how defensive he gets sometimes, Austin? Just like, no, goddammit, I knew.
Austin. Austin has a new name today.
What's Austin's new name today?
Waldo.
Why?
He looks like Waldo.
That's not red, it's orange.
Well, I know. But from the end of my street, when watching him walk across the driveway, I'm like, oh, look, it's Waldo.
I'm not going to make fun of you like Waldo. That today, buddy.
I'm not making fun Next of him. Time.
This is a safe place.
I'm not. This is a safe place. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying he looks like Waldo.
Everyone gets their balls smashed.
I don't know if I've ever seen Austin in a collared shirt.
You know what? I don't think I have either. He does look a little more presentable today.
Yeah.
He looks good.
My
hair's done a little bit. Not as scruffy. It looks like he shaved at least within the last 2 days.
He shaved on Sunday morning. That's when last time he shaved.
Like and he's got a nice collared shirt on. I mean, he just looks good.
So I play guitar at church, so you have to be shaved when you're on the platform.
Ah.
So, I mean, before Wednesday and Sunday. It's just platform guidelines. It looks nice when you're shaved.
You can't have a clean, clean cut beard? Uh-uh. That's bullshit.
Hey, different rules.
I don't want to like bring up a whole thing, but that's dumb.
It's not like a religious thing. It's just more of a thing of like when I worked at McDonald's, we had to be shaved because it's like as soon as you say, oh, you can be shaven, you can have a beard, then you have the person that takes it too far.
Yeah, but that's food service. There's beard hairs, you know, in their food. We're talking like I know guys that like are more clean cut than me that have full beards.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking Timberman. In the woods.
Everyone thinks their beard is clean until they're on a live stream and realize the lights show everything.
Got that one hair out of place.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's,
no,
like,
not,
that's really
not
what gets you.
They're not
like,
waxing it.
Yeah, well, you're on live stream, and so it's like anyone who like wants to wear white short socks instead of long dress socks like you're supposed to. Oh, I see this. It just looks kind of bad, so.
Yeah.
Oh,
God damn.
Too much vanity.
Yeah.
Too much vanity for me. That's ridiculous. What's the matter with you?
My guys are...
You know what? We're trying to fucking work here, Mitch.
Yeah.
You're on the damn phone.
Yeah, well...
Did you hear what Keith said today? When he was like, Mitch, you're asleep over there? And I said, no, he's just addicted to his phone. He goes, yeah, I know he is. Yeah. It's too much. I was like,
no.
That's Keith, what he said.
Keith knows.
That you're
he knows.
On your, he wasn't on his phone this morning.
Well, he was presenting.
And he's busier than you.
He's presenting. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What do you want to talk about, buddy?
We are going to talk about numbers and how to find problems in your business. So This is going to be a little bit of a difficult talk for a podcast.
Yeah, it may get a little sideways. We'll see how it goes.
Basically, so like we want to talk about numbers in your business in generalities, because every business is going to be a little bit different. Whether you're a one-man show, a three-man show, or a five-man show, your numbers are going to be different. But also, we need to, like, we're going to talk about industry-leading benchmarks for numbers, and these are kind of like where you want to get to.
They're goals.
They're goals, but you will, if you're a one-man show, you will not achieve these benchmarks. If you're a three-man show, you will not achieve these benchmarks.
Or you'll blow those benchmarks out of the water in certain areas.
Yeah, you may achieve one or two, but you're going to get your ass kicked in other areas. And so the just keep in mind the end goal is to be achieving most of these benchmarks. But even phenomenal top-of-line completed businesses with 10 to 20 employees or more, still struggle to achieve all of these benchmarks every time. The benchmarks that we're going to be kind of going over are like a perfect scorecard. But the main reason we're going over some of those benchmarks is we're in a tough place in the economy right now. The election has a lot of consumers hesitant on spending money, hesitant on making commitments to anything. The inflation that we've had over the last few years has made business really challenging because costs are going up and businesses are always reluctant to raise their price in association to costs. I just heard a term the other day that the extreme left is coming up with a term to deflect off of the inflation that they've caused, and they're calling it greedflation.
Did you see my post?
They're trying to pass the buck.
Yeah.
On greedy corporations, as that's why it's inflation. It's not the fact that our government can't negotiate foreign trade deals to save their life, or they can't work through a foreign policy in a way that benefits everybody in America. So now they got to deflect it and say they got to blame it on the big corporations.
Well, this is like, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it's like, you know, Biden took office, cut 2,000 jobs and shut down a pipeline in Pennsylvania. Right. And then the price of gas goes up. Is that greedflation?
Yeah.
No, it's supply and demand.
Yeah.
And then Sheree, like literally I posted this the other day. I just put on there greedflation. What the F? Why can't people just, you know, I don't remember exactly what it was. Why can't people just, what did I say, Mitch?
I didn't see your post.
Ugh, I thought you were robbing it straight from me.
No.
Why can't people take accountability and stop blaming someone else for something else?
Right.
Like, just own up. Like, if Democrats were smart, they would just say, yeah, we screwed up. We know that X, Y, and Z were a problem, and how we're going to fix it is A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
People respect honesty more than anything. We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
But, like, have a solution.
Yeah.
Don't just pass the buck onto someone else.
Right.
People do that shit in business all the time. Well, my vendor raised my prices. Now I can't make it.
Right.
Really?
Right. And so
why
I've
didn't
had,
you raise your prices?
Yeah. I've got
what?
I've got one friend of mine on Facebook that they're open to conversation, but they are definitely left leaning. Right. And she's been making all these posts about how it's unfair that these oil companies are making record profits. And meanwhile, I'm struggling in my small business. And I'm like, yeah, you got to raise your price. She goes, my customers can't afford that. And I'm like, well, then you're not actually in business to be in business. You're in business to provide a convenience for people and make no money. And
yeah.
And I'm like, if the cost of your rent has gone up, where you rent your day, she has a childcare facility. If the cost of your rent has gone up and the cost of your utilities has gone up and the cost of your water has gone up and the cost of the food that you provide the kids has gone up and the cost of your streaming services that you have on the TVs for entertainment and movies has gone up and the cost of your cleaning company to come in and clean the place has gone up. You don't, that as a business owner, it's not your obligation to make less profit because costs have gone up. It's literally your obligation as a business owner to adjust your pricing to stay in front of ever rising costs.
Yeah.
And so
people want to act like these big corporations are
in the wrong for profiting.
Well, they act like
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Oh, they should just make less money and make our lives easier.
Right.
No, that's not their obligation.
No, it's your obligation to make more money so you can continue to afford the service.
Yeah.
And,
hello.
And that's your obligation as a consumer. That's your obligation as a business owner. That's your obligation all the way around the world. And so do not allow anybody to convince you that when the troubled economy happens, it's all of our jobs as business owners to profit less so that everyone else is happy.
No, literally, in
what we're talking about today is your profit and loss statement. Most businesses operate off of a profit and loss statement. I do too. I operate off the percentages of the profit and loss statement, right? So guess what? If the cost of everything goes up and I have to raise my price, I'm doing that because I want to maintain a certain percent of net profit. So guess what? When a bad administration takes office and causes the price of everything to skyrocket, if I'm managing my business correctly, I'm not saying this is easy.
You have to be.
I will see record profits because I'm managing my P&L off of percentages. And so if the material costs have gone up and I want to maintain a certain profit percentage, I have to raise my price accordingly. And so now my price goes up and that adds a challenge to me, right? Because now I have a more difficult time in business selling at a higher price. But I still maintain, my goal is to maintain that certain goal number of net profit, and that will result in record profits.
When everyone says, when everything has gone up, guess what? We are all part of everything.
Yeah.
Okay, we all have a job.
Right.
We are part of the everything cell.
Yeah.
Like if just to use an example, what you were talking about with the lady that owns the daycare, if she's making 10% profit, and that allows her to grow the business, okay, write herself a paycheck. If all of that stuff cuts into that, what happens? The business folds.
The business goes under.
You have to maintain the same quote-unquote percentages in your pay as it's going up. Everyone wants to think of, as your profits go up, your percentage should shrink.
No.
No, it can't shrink because everything else has gone up also.
Right.
So that profit needs to stay the same just for you to maintain growth.
The profit percentage.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The same growth that you were maintaining before that struggle happened.
And the reason I clarified you on that is because I'm just going to use round number. This is
I'm glad you did.
The left is pushing really hard. Like, let's say a big oil company profits $1 billion. Well, for one, they just throw it out there. They profited $1 billion. That's greed. Well, no. If they did $100 billion in revenue and their profit was $1 billion, that's 1% profit. That's really shitty, right?
Yeah.
And so, but they want to just throw out the
number, not the
attention grabbing number, and make all of America hate them because they profited $1 billion, right? Well, if you're doing $100 billion in revenue, that's shitty, right? So
yeah, and then people don't take into account that inside of that billion, okay, they profited $1 billion. The next year, they had to go dig 5 test wells that cost $50 million.
You know what I mean? Not even the digging the test wells.
I'm saying if they don't have that profit, they cannot continue to grow and continue to create jobs and continue to give us oil at a reasonable price.
Right. But like using that scenario, if the cost of everything has gone up and taxes have gone up and cost of living has gone up and a lot of these oil companies have to pay their employees cost of living.
Oh, you're talking front side.
Right.
Okay.
And so if material goods have gone up and piping has gone up and distribution costs have gone up and everything has gone up, that oil company that did $100 billion in sales and profited $1 billion at 1%. Now, let's just say next year, because of all the costs, next year they made $150 billion in sales. If their costs stayed or their profit stayed at $1 billion, They actually took a step backwards as a business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And instead of maintaining that 1% or whatever, now it's down to 0.75.
And the left is trying to convince you that they should not increase their profits year over year, and they should just eat all the added costs. And it's like, no, that's not the reason anybody's in business.
Well, and first off, people want to take it 1 year by 1 year. If that happens 10 years in a row, the business is no longer profitable and it tanks.
Right.
And now 200,000 people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, across the country or whatever.
It's no different than when they'll pick on a rich guy, right? They'll pick on Trump, they'll pick on Musk, they'll pick on Zuckerberg or anybody, and they'll focus in on the 1 year where they showed wild profits.
Yeah.
Based off their tax returns.
Not look at the other fucking
nine. They don't look
nine.
At the other eight or nine where they lost money or broke even for 8 or 9 years staging for a profitable year.
While they were maintaining 400 employees,
right.
And those 400 employees were feeding their families.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right. Meanwhile, SpaceX is rescuing two astronauts from space later next year.
That's so random. Yeah.
So I know we kind of took a little bit of a detour on that, but we wanted to talk about that because with the ever-changing economy, costs are constantly moving. We can't control that. We can't control who's president. We can't control inflation. I mean, I get it on a macro. If we all vote the right way, we can control inflation. If we all vote the right way, we can control.
But you can only really control what's in front of your face.
You can control what's in your responsibility, right?
And so vote the right way that you think is going to be quote unquote the right way. But then what's in front of your face, deal with it.
Right.
Whether you think it's good, bad, indifferent, what you wanted, what you didn't want, you can control what's in front of your face.
Right. You know, we can talk about this especially on a business. I don't like getting too political here, but we can talk about the business aspects of the political stuff. This is not abortion policies. This is not anything else. The business of the U.S. was much stronger when Trump was in office than in any other time in history.
Yeah.
The business of the U.S.
You know who came out with a study about that? Was the IRS, who hates his guts.
Right.
They were like, no, look, people made more money.
Who do you think hates him more, the FBI, the Secret Service, or the IRS?
That's a fucking loaded question.
Or BlackRock, right?
So probably BlackRock.
Yeah. I would say so, considering he's been attempted. They've attempted an assassination twice, and both of the people have been found in BlackRock TV commercials.
We're about to take a fucking left turn.
No, we're not.
Can Trump not supplement his own secret, like his own security, by getting more of his people?
Oh, he totally could.
Oh, yeah, he could.
He probably is already doing that.
Well, I guarantee you he's doing that.
Yeah, he could.
So the Secret Service ain't doing a good enough job. So he's going to have to do it. He's got to take matters into his own hands.
You know what? I'm not going to say it. We're not going to go on that topic. Let's stay on topic.
But what I'm saying, the business of America was stronger when Trump was in office. So every business person out there is wanting Trump back in office, right? Now, it depends on what's important to you. And I'm not going to say that, you know, if abortion's crazy important to you, then vote whatever way you think is going to help that, right?
Yeah,
like,
you're an idiot, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's up free for you country. To do.
You do whatever you want.
But business of America definitely wants Trump back in office. So the really, really smart people out there are pushing for Trump to be in office. They're going to vote for Trump, but they're preparing for another 4 years of this bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So they're preparing.
Smart business people prepare for the future they think could happen.
Yeah. You know, they're preparing for the cost of water heaters to double in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
If Kamala gets in office, they're preparing
for
the cost of copper to continue to skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know, they're preparing for all of those things, even though we're hopeful that we can regulate a lot of that stuff through good foreign trade agreements and everything else. But
back on task.
As a small business owner, if you don't know a lot about in how this happens, you're a small business owner, you were a really good tile guy, you were a really good plumber, heating and cooling guy, or whatever the case may be, and so you decided to go into business for yourself, but you don't have a lot of business experience. And so, you know, back when you were working for somebody, you just put in the water heater, collected a check, and moved on. And now you have to put in a water heater, collect a check, and pay bills and forecast projections and try to grow your business and try to make sure you're going to be there next year. And you want to profit, but you don't want to profit too much because you want to make sure you're reinvesting in the business. And if you suck all the profits out of the business, you can't grow the business. And it's this challenge, right?
It's a circle of death.
And so
is what I used to call it when I started. Like, yeah. It was like, how much do I give myself? Like, originally when I started, it was, I know that this much from that job was profit. Say it was $1,000.
Right.
How much of that do I need to keep for next month? Like, let's just break it down where it's super simple. How much do I know I need to keep?
Right.
How much can I give myself?
Right.
Like, it comes down to very basic strategies at the beginning.
Yeah.
But if you're going to try to grow,
yep.
Where do you go with that number?
Right.
How much are you saving for this? How much are you using for growth? How much does it take just to keep the doors open?
Right.
How much do you have to pay rent?
And so that's the purpose of this show is we're going to talk about some high level overview benchmark numbers that you're going to get from your profit and loss statement. And once you're achieving those benchmarks, that's going to help you grow. And so, I'm going to reference QuickBooks Online because it's the most popular bookkeeping software out there. And so we're going to reference QuickBooks Online. It's the one I use. It's the one I'm experienced with. I would be surprised if 90% of our listeners aren't using the same platform.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do, first thing you want to do is you want to save a report in your QuickBooks. If you go to your reporting section of QuickBooks, it's going to have like profit and loss and balance sheet under your management reports. You want to go in and find profit and loss as a percentage of revenue, and you want to click the little star next to it so it saves it as one of your favorite reports.
Yeah, it'll just keep it at the top.
Yeah, a profit and loss statement alone without percentages is fairly useless. You want the percentages to guide you. For the exact way that we talked about this in the beginning, if material costs go up and you're trying to achieve the same percentage of net profit, you need to be guided by percentages. So make sure you're looking at a profit and loss as a percentage of revenue. And then as you're organizing your P&L, the only thing there's a lot of this stuff that we would have to go deep into the weeds on, like on a personal call with you, because each business is set up a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you're a one-man show, you're all your field labor and office labor. If you're a five-man show and you're completely out of the field, then all of your labor moves to the office side and nothing in the field and all of that. So the one thing I do want to say is you want to be organizing your labor, your field labor, as a cost of goods sold. They're going to call that a COG.
Define field labor.
So field labor is going to be anybody out in the field, okay? Anybody out in the field that's not on salary is your field
there you go.
Labor. If you're big enough to where you have a field supervisor that's on salary, he is actually your office overhead. Because whether you make sales or not, his salary gets paid. Field labor, in any cost of goods sold, this goes for labor and materials both. Any cost of goods sold, the definition of a cost of goods sold is an expense that you incurred because you made a sale. That's different than like your shop lease payment. You have your shop lease payment whether you make sales or not. Whether you sold $2,000, $20,000, or $200,000 this month, you still have a shop lease payment. So that goes as a net expense. It's not a COG. It's not a cost of goods sold. However, if you sold a water heater to Mrs. Jones and you have to go buy a water heater to put into Mrs. Jones's house, then the materials associated to that install is a cost of goods sold, and the labor associated to that install is a cost of goods sold. You only had to pay that labor because you sold a water heater.
Do you want to define that as above the line?
We're going to get there.
Below the line?
We're going to get there. So a high-level overview of what your P&L looks like is you have your top-line revenue, and keep in mind, we're looking at this in percentages, and so that's going to be 100% of your earnings, okay? And we're just going to use round numbers for this.
I feel like you need a whiteboard.
Nah.
Like, I feel like we should, have one right here.
Nah, we can just talk through it. So the your top-line revenue is 100% of the money that you have to work with.
Yep.
Okay, so if you made $100,000 in sales last month, that's your top line revenue. That is 100% of the money you have to work with. Now, you're going to spend that money on materials to install whatever you sold, labor to install whatever you sold, and subcontractors to install whatever you sold.
Yep.
Okay? Those are the three expenses that you're going to have, what Dave was just referring to as above the line. So you have top line revenue minus materials, minus field labor, minus subcontractors, and that leaves you with gross profit.
Feel free to pause, go back, and write that down.
You might have to write this down a little bit.
Like, that's going to be a lot of information in a short amount of time.
Gross profit, if you're picturing this in like a report side of things.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Picture a big, giant black line under the word gross profit. And so as we refer to expenses as above-the-line expenses or below-the-line expenses, above-the-line expenses are costs of goods sold. They're expenses that you have simply because you sold something. Below-the-line expenses are expenses that you have whether you make a sale or not. Okay? That's right. Your phone bill, your CRM monthly expense.
Insurance.
Yeah, whether it's Field Pulse, Service Titan, House Call Pro, Job, or any of them.
Car payments.
Car payments. Insurance, permits, well, not permits, licensing. Permits a lot of times fall under material.
Yearly licensing,
but yes. Your licensing renewals, your permits, your shop lease. If you got to put tires on a van, those are none of that is cost of goods sold. Those are all overhead expenses.
Yes, they are overhead expenses.
I hate group texts.
Just give me the damn phone. You'll keep it over here. I need to
leave it on.
I need to. I wasn't going to turn it off. I'm just going to not allow you to use it.
I need to hear it when it's going off. But so we've got above the line expenses and below the line expenses.
Yes.
And don't overthink this, right? A lot of guys will take like fuel. They'll be like, well, I had to buy fuel to drive out and make that sale. So if I didn't have to make that sale, I wouldn't have had to buy fuel. No. You're buying fuel to make the drive out there. Regardless, not guaranteed a sale.
Yeah. Regardless, so you're buying fuel no matter what.
Yes. Right? Now, subcontractors. That's an obvious one.
Yeah.
You're not hiring subcontractors unless you've sold work and you have work for them to do.
Correct.
So that is obviously an above the line expense. Materials. You're not buying materials unless you sold work and you need to install them. So that's an above the line expense.
That's a good example.
Right.
Like those are easy examples. What are other easy examples?
Well, your field labor.
Yep, field labor is an easy one.
Well, I've got a plumbing company, right? So I've got 3 plumbers and 2 installers out in the field. They're only out there making sales.
Yeah.
Right? And the way that they're paid, they're only paid if they make sales.
Yeah, which is why we tell you guys to pay them that way.
Yeah, and so they are a field labor expense. Now, other employees in my company that are a below-the-line expense. We've got Austin, our videographer.
Whoop.
He's a below-the-line expense. I got to pay his salary whether we make sales or not.
You don't want to be a below.
Yeah. Belows are expendable. I will say that.
Poor Austin.
We've got my salary. We've got my wife's salary. We've got our 2.
Hey, I've helped Smedley make money and I get none. Yeah. So, yeah. You're above me on the rung.
We've got our 2 part-time customer service reps and dispatchers that are also a below the line expense.
Yep.
I got to pay their wages whether we make sales or not.
Yep.
Right. And so that's a high-level overview of the gross profit side of things. Now, before we go on to the net side of things, I do want to talk some percentages here. So, as a general rule, your top-line revenue is 100% of your income.
Yep.
You want your materials to be anywhere from 15 to 20% of your top-line revenue. Okay? If you tell me I had $18,000 in material expenses last month, that does not mean shit to me. It doesn't mean anything unless I have the context of how much of a percentage of revenue was that 18 grand.
Yeah. Okay?
If you only sold $36,000 last month and you had 18 grand in materials, that's 50% material costs. You have a massive problem. Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to know the percentage, right? Now, if you have 100 grand in sales and 18,000 in material costs, that's a different story, right? Yeah. You're closer to the target number. The target number is 15.
Yeah. For easy math.
For plumbing companies, the target number is going to be 15. For HVAC, it's going to be a little higher because you've got heavy equipment costs, right? Yeah, you've got furnaces and ACs and...
Yeah, P&E for HVAC can be anywhere from 30 to 45, but most guys are like 35 to 40.
Right.
You know, higher ticket items, they require more parts and equipment to get those sales. Like, it just is what it is. Now, the profit margins are lower. but the numbers are usually the same.
The numbers are similar.
Yeah.
Right.
So you make 20,000, I make 20,000, but the percentage of profit for you may be 15. For me, it may be 6.
Right.
But the number is actually the same with the same amount of employees.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Your field labor. This is going to be pretty consistent no matter where you are across the board. You're going to get different opinions on this everywhere you go. The super aggressive companies, the private equity companies and all of that stuff, they're going to tell you they want field labor around 15% of net profit or 15% of revenue. I'm going to be real with you. 15% is almost impossible to keep employees. You're going to be 24/7 battling employees that are overworked and underpaid. And so I like that number up a little bit higher. I like it somewhere around 20 to 25%.
Well, ease of running the company.
Yeah.
Like it gets easier the more you pay them as far as turnover and headaches and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference too when you're like the bigger your company is, the easier it is for that percentage to be lower because there aren't as many high paid employees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
I don't want to get into the weeds with it, but like what we preach in TradeWinds all the time is if you want to have the best employees, pay them the best rates.
Right.
And those rates are 20 to 21%.
The field labor side of things is always going to stay fairly consistent. The office side of things moves a lot as your company grows.
Yes.
So, but just on the field side of things, if you can swing it, set a goal of 15% for field labor. But I've found in my many years of managing people that trying to achieve that number results in a high level of turnover because your guys can easily go somewhere else for more money.
Well, it just turns into a revolving door.
Yeah.
If you don't have, if it's a company that doesn't have great culture and they're at 15 to 16%, people just roll.
Right.
Like it's literally a revolving door. Three people came in today.
Yep.
Four went out.
Right.
Four came in the 2 days before that and two came. Like, you don't, that is, like, let's be honest, it's an office nightmare. It costs you more on your office staff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the turnover costs you money. You do not want to fuck with that.
Right.
Pay your employees well and keep them long term.
It costs me $5,000 to hire one employee.
Yeah.
By the time because they get insurance from day one.
I'd like to see that as percentage based on what we're talking about here.
You can't percentage.
I know. It's impossible.
You can't get a percentage of that because it changes on how many employees you hire and how good you manage them, right? If you're horrible at managing them, you're going to have to spend that $5,000 several times a year. Whereas if you're good at managing them, you're only spending that $5,000 every time you grow, right? So,
and that what does that do? Increases your bottom line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So
just pay them a little bit more and not have to fuck with it.
Right. Right. Subcontractors is the only other thing on a top line expense, a gross expense, a cost of goods sold. And I always try to keep my subs at 5% or less. It kind of depends on how, this is, again, one of those things where if you really want to get into the weeds on this, we would have to have a private call for it. Some businesses are set up to where they subcontract out a lot of their work. And so their materials are going to be lower. Their field labor is going to be lower. Their subcontractor expense is going to be a little higher. It's just trading. Are we doing this work in-house or are we subbing it out type of thing?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, the end goal is you're looking for 55 to 60% gross profit. So for every $1,000 you sell, you want to have $550 to $600 coming back into the company to run the company. And the way I explain this to people is, even though we're all on the same team, it's the field team's job to deliver gross profit to the company. And then it's the company's job to manage and spend that gross profit efficiently so that the company's here next month, next year, and also the company continues to grow.
Yeah.
And so
so that guys have the tools they need.
Right.
You know, good trucks to run out of.
Right.
Branding so that you keep work coming. You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
I should have said marketing, not branding, but.
Well, all of it.
Yeah.
And so now that we've got 55 to 60% gross profit, now we start looking into some of those fixed expenses that you have every month, whether you make sales or not. So you've got the owner's salary, the officer's salary. That's a line item on my P&L.
You're getting it regardless.
And I share, like Austin's seen it. We do P&L meetings every month. I share my salary. The guys know exactly how much I make.
Yeah.
And there's guys that'll elbow each other and be like, I made more than him last month. And I'm sure under their breath,
sucks.
I'm sure under their breath, like it's kind of hard for people not to think there's some sort of lack of transparency or dishonesty somewhere.
That's just human nature.
Yeah, human nature is like, oh, he's just showing us this number. He actually made more. And it's like, no, that's literally all I made.
Yeah, you guys want me to like bring the checkbook out? Like, I will fucking show you.
And so then we have office staff salaries, right? So that's our bookkeeper, videographer, our CSRs, and stuff like that.
They all know what Austin makes? Oh, shit.
No, they're office staff salaries are together. All lumped together.
I literally can make $20 a year, and they'd just be like, oh, he's getting paid too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would.
Like, no matter like how much little money I made.
Right.
Poor Austin.
Next thing down that I do want to hit on is, like, marketing. You're paying for, like, marketing is not guaranteed, right? You're going to spend $1,000 on a marketing campaign. You don't know if that's going to produce sales or not. So it's not a cost of goods.
Yeah. Your ROI on that could be zero. It could be 15,000. You have no idea.
You have no idea. None. So some benchmarks for marketing are, if you want to maintain the size of your company, well, first of all, let me say this.
I was going to say back up.
Let me clarify, what is a marketing expense? A marketing expense is the obvious, right? If you pay to boost a Facebook ad, if you run ads on Google, if you're running Google LSA ads, if you buy a billboard or a TV commercial, that's all marketing.
If you're sponsoring your alma mater football team.
If you're sponsoring a team.
Do you see how good they look this year, by the way?
Yeah, they're killing it.
Oh, my God.
Do you think there's any irony in the fact that this is the first year we've sponsored them and it's the first year they're dominating?
Do you want me to tell you the truth?
Go ahead.
No, because I know two teachers that work there. One of them is the ex-assistant basketball coach, so he knows all the athletes.
Yep.
His daughter played soccer with my daughter, so him and I are friends. And he was like, dude, next year they're going to be legit.
Yeah.
Like, they got some fucking athletes on that team. So Blue Spring South, state champs. Let's see what happens. Let's be honest. You may have hit a home run with that, because those games are full as shit right now.
I know. I'm there.
I know you are.
So
thanks for the invites.
Well,
I'm just saying.
They've only had one home game.
I know. Thanks for the invite.
I took Grant. I took my son.
Man, you know what?
You're always going to thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
Mitch can be like,
Dave, that's what's funny is nobody knows. Dave hates people. Like, he doesn't.
Not true. I hate dumb people.
Well, that's most of America.
Mitch is going to be like, yeah, they're sending me to storm the beaches of Normandy. Dave, where's my invite?
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
No.
I don't want to come. I just want to be invited.
He'd fucking invite me to that. He'd be like, hey, by the way, I need guns and ammo. What are you doing? No, we could be killed.
Dave always wants to be invited to conflict.
Yes, of course I do. No, seriously, though, that's gonna be a great investment, I think, for you this year.
Yeah, I wrote him a big check for that, so... we'll see what happens with it. But even if you sponsor a Little League team, like Little League teams love to act like, oh, we have this nonprofit designation, it's a charitable donation. No, it's not. That's a marketing expense.
Yeah.
Your logo is going on the back of their t-shirts. Your logo and company name is going on the banner on the outfield.
Yep.
Like, that's a marketing expense. You don't have to deal with all this, how do I classify this as a charitable donation? It's not charity.
No.
It's marketing.
Hey, guys, marketing and advertising are the same thing. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I've literally had that question in TradeWinds. Like, dude, no, it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's the same.
I love you guys. Mean, it's the same thing.
In QuickBooks, it's literally marketing and advertising.
Yeah.
It's
together.
Code is. So like if you wrap a vehicle, that's a marketing expense. That's not a vehicle expense, because you're not wrapping the vehicle with like just a pink wrap. You're wrapping it with your company logo and branding and everything else. Anything with your logo on it. Marketing expense. I just spent $2,000 on new apparel for the company.
Oh, nice.
New t-shirts, new hoodies, and things like that.
Did I get a hoodie?
Marketing expense. No.
I didn't get a hoodie either.
I can give you some of mine, Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Man, it's tough being Dave.
So anything with a logo on it, marketing expense. Okay?
Yeah.
So your marketing, if you want to maintain the size of your company, your marketing is going to be 3-6%. Okay. If you want to grow your company, your marketing is going to be 7-10% of your top line revenue.
Yep.
So again, using that $100,000 as a perspective, you're going to spend $3,000 to $6,000 a month getting the name out there about your company just to maintain $100,000 a month. But if you'd like to have 100 this month and 105 next month and 110 the month after that, and you'd like to continue to keep growing, then you're going to need 7 to 10% of your income going to marketing.
Yeah.
And that's fairly stable, even like plumbing to HVAC. HVAC yeah. has higher ticket items. They have higher top line revenue. Their marketing budget is still 3 to 6 to maintain, 7 to 10 to grow.
Well, they have a bigger marketing budget, but it's the same percentage of their gross revenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Now, I do want to hang up on marketing here for a second.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
If you are a small one-man show, you should be spending almost nothing on marketing. And I don't say almost nothing, because like, you still need a uniform. You still have a logo. You still have to wrap your truck. You still have to do all of that stuff.
When you say nothing, you mean you're not paying third party.
You're not even paying 3 to 6.
That's no third party is, and you're not paying an advertiser. You're not Correct. Paying an SEO. You're not paying, that's what I mean by third party.
Yeah.
You're paying for the bare minimums that you need to get your name out there. And yeah. the rest of it is on your own.
Right.
You can stay busy as, let's be honest. How many guys did you have before you really started paying for other than SEO?
I had 5 employees before I dumped money into 5. Marketing. We were doing over $1 million a year in revenue before I started spending any money on true advertising.
And let's be completely transparent. Like, when I think of that, I think of Mitch as being very, very good in the social media space.
Yeah.
Say you're not very as good as him in the social media space, you could still not spend anything for 3 employees. Not 5. Like, you should, even if you're average to lower average on social media as far as putting yourself out there, and your work is good and you're getting good word of mouth, right. also, you should be able to take care of 2 or 3 employees
yeah.
before you spend serious money on marketing.
Well, also,
it's just true.
Yeah. We don't. There's a term that I want you guys to understand, and that's called weaponized incompetence.
And basically, Oh, I love it.
Basically, what that term is you're using the fact that you don't know how to do something as a weapon to not do it.
Man, I might get that as a tattoo.
Okay. So weaponized incompetence, like here's that's how this great. Manifests outside of business. Here's how this manifests. Husband and wife. The wife asks the husband to vacuum. The husband intentionally does a shitty job because if he does it bad enough, she'll never ask him to do it again.
Or rolls the laundry instead of folds it.
Yeah, he's weaponizing instead of choosing to learn how the wife wants it to make it done right. He's weaponizing his incompetence against his wife, right?
Yeah, to get out of something right. is the definition.
Here's how this happens in business. Oh, I don't this like social so media.
So good.
That is weaponized incompetence. Social media Agreed. Is literally the freest way you're ever going to get leads and marketing on your business. Do not allow yourself the excuse of, I'm not good at it. I don't like it. Right?
Yeah.
Because
I did this forever with TradeWinds.
Yeah.
Like this, when I say I'm 100% transparent with the guys in TradeWinds, I'm going to be that way now.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah.
It drives me insane. I've been doing it, and it sucks. I'm on groups, the HVAC groups, because Mitch made me do it.
Yep.
For TradeWinds, I hate it. 95% of the people on there are complete fucking dipshits.
Yeah.
And they're not talking any strategy. They're not talking anything.
That's because 95% of the world doesn't want to win every day.
Yeah. They're not engaging.
They just want comfort.
Yeah. They're not engaging in a positive way.
Right.
Like the guys in TradeWinds do. So you got to sift through the bullshit. I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Like, it's taken me a long time. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
If you're a one-man show and you're doing like 30 grand a month in revenue, you do not need to be spending 3 to 6% of that in marketing.
You need to be spending money.
I mean, 30 grand a month in revenue is a fairly common number for new businesses. So 30
so
grand
10 would be
times 600, 0.06.
600
to 1,800. That's 180. No, hold on.
$1,800.
$1,800.
Oh, Mitch got his calculator out. Dave's using his brain. Boom, baby. Boom. And I'm a dipshit.
I don't even know if it's that.
6% of 10 grand is $600.
Yeah, it is $1,800. Okay.
600 times three is $1,800.
Yeah.
Man.
Dave got it.
I love being
nice. Human calculator. Okay.
Boom, baby.
So if you're a one-man show, you absolutely don't need to be spending $1,800 a month on anything marketing.
No.
You don't.
We will say this. If you've consistently put together 6 months and have a website and you want to spend money on SEO,
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the one caveat, because that's different.
Here's the thing, though.
You want to get into, like, what that is.
As a one-man show, you don't need to be spending money on search engine optimization. People don't need to randomly find you on the internet as a one-man show.
If you're trying to grow.
Yes.
Because it's a long play.
Right.
That's why we say, if you're going to grow and you want 3, 5, 6, 8 employees,
right,
okay, and you're making $30,000-$35,000 a month,
yeah,
and you're consistently doing that for 6 months and you want to pay for SEO, we give the guys a pass and say, go for it, because that's for future growth.
Yeah. Here's my drawback to that, though, is guys will quickly glance through what you just said and then they'll rely on SEO to keep their schedule full. They don't grow. And the reason why is because they, like, every business owner, especially a home service business, they have an obligation to the company that they're building and to themselves to learn how to market your own business on social media. And I'm not talking high level social media ads. I'm not talking backlinks and retargeting and all of this shit. I'm talking literally just getting involved in your local community groups and making new customers from your social media behavior.
Well, let me say it this way then. First off, SEO is search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
That is plumber near me. Okay, you want to be near the top of the list. SEO would be in addition to all of the social media posts, all of the stuff that you can do on your own.
Right.
Do not substitute SEO for what we just talked about previously.
Right.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better?
And
that's what I really meant.
Right. And here's what, a lot of people come in and they don't learn how to market for themselves and they put all their eggs in a marketing agency's basket. And we see this way too often in Tradewinds. I've been a victim of it myself, where marketing agencies rob small businesses blind. We can talk about it for a second.
You want to talk about you or one of the guys?
No, marketing agencies in general love going after sub $1 million home service businesses.
It's because they know that they don't know what they're doing yet.
They know that those businesses don't know how to market for themselves, and they know that those businesses are desperate for leads. And so they know that they can extort those businesses out of tens of thousands of dollars every month just for that. We have a guy in Tradewinds who is spending over 15 grand a month in marketing.
He was only making 35 to 40.
And he was only making 40 grand a month in revenue.
Yeah.
And so we obviously put a massive stop to that. We got his number down to around 6 grand a month.
I think that's where he's at now.
And he has zero drop in call volume, which means he was literally just lighting 10 grand a month on fire, wiping his ass with it and throwing it away every single month, because the marketing agency fed him full of a bunch of hollow statements.
Well, those companies know that by the time that they're caught, 3 months has gone by.
They made 30 grand.
Yeah, and they've made 30 grand.
Yeah.
And they don't give a fuck.
Right.
If you want to talk about any companies that need to be ratted out to the BBB, it's those companies.
Right.
It's those fucking...
The marketing thing, it doesn't
drive
take...
me insane, man.
There's no qualifications to be a marketing person. There's no oversight. There's no compliance. There's no nothing.
There's not.
So here's what a lot of marketing agencies do. A lot of marketing agencies go hire a videographer. They get a couple of flashy videos. They join an entrepreneurship group and find any reason they can to get up on stage so they can grab those photos and those short little video clips. And then they put that becomes their social proof. So then they put together these ads and then they say, we've helped this company grow from this to this. We helped this company grow from this to this. Some of it might be true. Some of it might be not. I guarantee you it's not the marketing that had that company grow. It was the leadership within the company is why they grew. The marketing helped. right?
Yeah.
But these marketing agencies will act like they're the reason they a company grew.
They will take all credit for things they did not even do.
Right.
We see it all the fucking time.
And so then all of that lines up. You get a business owner whose schedule looks bad. It's empty.
Yeah.
And they don't know what they're going to do for work. And he's panicking.
Yeah.
And then that very attractive ad video comes across the social media feed. And all of a sudden, now that guy thinks that marketing agency is the answer to all of his problems.
Yep.
And we have solved this. We have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars from Tradewinds members way overspending on marketing. And their businesses are still growing. Literally, yeah. Just somebody yesterday posted in the group that they bought another truck and added to their fleet. And he's not spending.
It was Joe.
30% of his revenue
we had,
in marketing.
Yeah, we had Joe on his call, and then he was like, hey, I got the van, and I got it wrapped, right, and all this. And like to Joe's credit, he didn't even give a shit. He cared about what's next. Yeah. What are we doing? He hadn't even posted in the group. We had to tell him, dude, post in the group.
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, dude, that's fucking awesome. Like,
his mind's on truck 5, not on truck 2, right?
Freaking A it is.
Yeah. So,
but like you were just saying, not to gloss over that point, what you were just saying, he's spending nothing.
Yeah.
All his stuff is word of mouth, and not even just word of mouth. He barely posts on social media,
right,
and is making it.
Yeah.
Like even the little bit that he does, yeah, he's rolling.
Well, and so the reason some guys can make it better than others without social media activity is just depends on your market. If you're in a really oversaturated market, you're going to need to be out there on social media a lot.
Sorry.
If you're in a market where the industry was just begging for your services to come to town, then you're going to have an easier road. It just kind of depends. But it ultimately, you don't even know if you're overspending. Golly. You don't even know if you're overspending on marketing.
I told you to give me that goddamn phone.
You don't even know if you're overspending on marketing unless you're looking at your profit and loss statement and you're able to compare what you're spending to a percentage of revenue, right? Now, using that example that we just did, 30 grand a month, $1,800, 30 grand a month in top line revenue and 1,800 would be 6%.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean never break that number. There may be times where I didn't spend money on marketing for 3 or 4 months in a row, and then I dump one lump sum sponsorship payment or one thing, right? Well, so you're looking at that as a percentage over time.
Well, that's why we say look at it at quarters. You don't have to make every decision, especially as you get bigger. You can't make them monthly sometimes. You have to like take a quarter into consideration.
Yeah.
What was the quarter before that quarter?
Right.
What is the quarter coming up? Is it the third quarter, which is always slow,
right,
that we tell guys? You know, all of that stuff you have to take into account before you just, you know, go off writing checks.
Yeah. Yeah. Q3 is always a rough month to do anything. I've already made a decision that next year going into Q3, I'm actually changing some things up to be even more conservative in Q3.
When you say conservative, like, I know it's no one's business. What do you mean?
So like, I'm going to dial my marketing expenditures. I'm going to dial them
to zero.
I'm going to dial them down in Q3 because there's not a lot of people buying in Q3 in a home service space, depending on what you sell.
Are you going to dial them up in 2 to keep a little bit of momentum into 3 without spending money in 3?
No. In other words,
the same in 2?
It's my logic that there's fewer customers buying. There's fewer customers to be had in Q3. And they're going to find you no matter what. So I don't want to be spending as much in marketing for those fewer customers.
Are you
going to,
like, so a week before 3 is over, are you going to ramp it up?
This is
my curiosity.
Q1 and 2 and 4 will have the same marketing budgets. But like Q1 and 2 and 4, I'll probably have it on the growth mode. And then Q3 will be on a maintain mode.
Interesting.
Is kind of what I'm looking for.
I got a buddy of mine that he has a media production company, and he did a similar thing that these agencies do, which is, I mean, I kind of dogged on him a little bit just in my mind, but he took someone who obviously probably wasn't doing social media, and then he helps them with video and their social media and stuff, and then he posts like, this client's engagement's up 900% and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, dude, that's just because they probably weren't doing anything before.
Yeah.
But like he hung his hat on that. I'm just like,
took advantage of that guy's work to make his numbers look better.
Dude, in my head, right, I'm like, dude, like the only reason why it's up 900% is because that person was doing, like, of course it's going to be be 10,000%.
Yeah. But that's
10,000%. You're right.
That's how those social or that's how those digital marketing agencies get their social proof. Mm. They take a one man show that was going to explode to 2 or 3 trucks no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just be honest. If somebody, and I've seen guys do this and I've cut them out, right? I had a guy try to take credit for some of our success, and he had nothing to do with our success, and he is not in my circle at all anymore, right? But there are guys that will, there are marketing agencies especially, that will identify companies that are getting ready to boom, and they'll even offer to do stuff at a fraction of the rate because they want that case study. They want to have their name attached. We were signed, the marketing agency that I used to have, they saw me rapidly growing on my own without marketing.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to sign their name to me and be able to brag and say,
right,
we are the reason he hit a million. And no, not at all.
You know, I would say, and this isn't a Tradewinds thing. If you're a one-man show, two-man show, three-man show, all right, and if you're thinking about putting money into marketing, get into a group like Tradewinds or any other group. I'm not just saying ours. Spend that money in that group for 1 to 2 months. So we don't have a contract. Ours is just month to month. We've never said prices or anything. Guys, our lowest
base level membership starts at $250 a month.
$249, $499, $999.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's no contract. If you want to be in for a month, be in for a month and get out.
Right.
It's better to spend that money, find out exactly what people are doing and what's going right, and before you just decide, I'm going to sign up with this marketing company for $10,000 and a 3-month commitment before spending $1,000 to find out really what's going on.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be Tradewinds. Pick one.
Right.
Okay. Pick one that you find reputable, that you know someone that's been in, or, you know, that you trust.
Yeah.
Find out what's going on, know what's happening before you spend 30 grand, 10 grand a month on something you probably don't fucking need.
Yeah. And free Facebook groups don't count.
Because no, free Facebook groups don't count. Spend $500, okay?
Well,
God damn it.
There's no shortage of business success groups and home service success groups and all this bullshit. If they're free groups, you are not going to get the information that you need. And the reason why there's no vetting into there's a little vetting into a free group, but nothing, there's no business qualification vetting.
No, there's four questions and hey, you're in. Admin says you're good to go.
You're not an AI chatbot is what you're, that's all they're pretty much vetting for, right?
Yeah.
And so take I'm a plumber, so I'll reference some of the plumbing groups on the area. You've got the Plumbing Mafia and Plumbers Inc. Those two groups, there's between those two groups, there's almost 100,000 members between those two groups. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of them overlap, but still.
And 70% of them are just on there to be on there and spread bullshit.
70% of them are on there to cause havoc. 95% of the people in those groups don't even own a business.
Really?
And so, yeah. Well, you think about it, they're plumbers.
That's why Tradewinds Group's private. We've talked about doing a public one. We're like, no.
Nope.
Can't do it.
Nope.
And no, there's no validity to it.
Right.
It's bullshit.
And so, if you go ask a question in one of those groups, a business question, hey guys, how much should I be spending on marketing? 98% of the answers you get are bullshit because they're from employees who have never had to make a marketing decision, let alone have a good track record of making marketing decisions.
Or there are marketers that are in the group that are like, hey dude, I love this one. I'm part of this.
Yeah.
They only charged me this and it's a bullshit post to get sales.
Yeah.
Like that's just what it is.
And so
go with a group that you trust and know. It doesn't have to be us.
If you're wanting to start a business and grow a business, put yourself around people who have been where you want to go. Do not align yourself with people with similar goals. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I should clarify that.
Say caveat that.
You can align yourself with people that have similar goals, but do not take mentorship from those people. Take mentorship from people who have, where you're wanting to go, that is in their rear view. They've already been there, seen that, done that. They know the challenges, they know the problems, and they know how to work through it. That's the guys you want to get advice from. So, I'll have people reach out to me with business questions. I've never met these people. They just follow me on Facebook or whatever else, and they'll hit me up with business questions, and I always give them a really good answer.
Give them an honest answer.
Yeah.
Because you don't want anything in return.
Right. And usually I'll say there's, you think that's good. There's boatloads more of this in Tradewinds or whatever. But the reason they're asking me is because they've seen the success and they want to ask the guy who's been there. Right. In other words, if your parents don't own a home service business, do not ask your parents home service business advice. Your parents may be the greatest people in the world.
Yeah.
But they're not in the best position to give you the advice you're looking for. Ask home service business owners who have already surpassed your current goal.
Yeah. It's like, man, I hate this. I see this all the time. Guys are like, well, my dad did this, my dad did that, my dad did this, and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, what's like, and then the next words out of their mouth are, well, he's broke. He's 70. He's got another mortgage. He's this and that. Why are you listening to what he said?
Right.
Like, I love my dad. I'm not listening to any advice he has on money. He doesn't, like, let's be honest, he doesn't give me that advice.
Right.
Because we're at two different places. But, like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I look to people like Keith.
Yeah.
That are, you know, that are at the next level that I want to get to.
Right.
And I'm, and I suck up whatever I think I can get from them.
Yeah.
And then I look at other people that are, but I don't go to, like, I don't go to Mitch. Mitch and I are at the same level. I don't need to be at this level. I'm looking to get to the next level.
Right.
That doesn't mean I don't ask his opinion about things.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, we've got to be looking forward. Yeah, we got to be looking forward.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I want to learn things that I don't know about.
You got to turn the page.
Yeah.
Someone shut his fucking mic off.
I almost got him. I was like, I'm going to see if I can get him on a rabbit trail. See if I can get his goat.
I got you.
Back on the profit and loss statement. So we've got marketing, right?
Yeah, let's move on.
And to maintain 3-6%, to grow 7-10%. Other things that you're going to see on your gross profit or your profit and loss statement, like vehicle repairs. And that's a business to business difference. I have low vehicle repairs because I buy all brand new vehicles. And so they don't need maintained as often, right? No, I got oil changes. I got tires.
You're doing tires, oil changes, brake pads, probably.
Yeah.
Windshields.
And windshield. Oh, man, windshields.
Mitch and fucking windshields.
Any transit owner in windshields. If you own a transit, you've bought a windshield.
Every 3 weeks, we're on one-on-one Zoom calls. I got to buy another fucking windshield today. God damn. Like, before the guys get on, I'm like, man,
there's only two types of
Ford
transit owners. Those that have bought windshields and those that have not.
And the ones that have not aren't Ford Transit owners. Like, it just happens.
But like you could run both models. Like, I've got a buddy of mine who buys like 7 to 8 years old vehicles. And then he puts a nice wrap on them and puts them in his fleet. So his initial expense is lower because he's buying used, right?
Yeah, but upkeep's more.
But upkeep is more. And yeah. So,
and let's be honest, the dollars are a gamble on every one of those vehicles. And they're the same on yours.
Yeah.
Right?
It just kind of depends. So it
goes,
like,
back and forth.
If you're a one-man show, don't buy a clunker because you can't afford to be down a vehicle.
No,
if
you
that
only
thing
have
shits
one.
A transmission, you're fucked.
You're not out $3,500 for the transmission. You're out $3,500 plus the 3 days of fucking work.
Yeah, plus the $8,000 to $10,000 in missed revenue.
And 6 to 10 customers that are mad because you can't get to them.
Right.
That is not a healthy aspiration.
Right.
Get something reliable, damn it.
Right. So the bigger your company is, the more you can take risks on the cheaper used vehicles. It just kind of depends.
Well, and if you're going to get used vehicles and you got 10 guys, you can have two that are sitting in the parking lot that are ready to go.
Right.
It's different. Like this is your business right now.
My business right now.
You got one fucking down.
Yeah. Like 20% of my field vehicles are down.
And let's be honest, like, let's just be transparent. Your call volume is down and you're still missing revenue with that vehicle out. Even as far down as call volume is.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
Like, that
it's
sucks.
It's making it harder to achieve the revenue.
You literally said to me the other day, hey, I'm thinking about getting a backup vehicle and just having it around.
Right.
So that this doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably a smart play for where you're at.
Yeah. So in where I thought, so when I signed up for our, I'm probably going to terminate this. When I signed up for our insurance, I added a feature for loss of use. And I thought that feature allowed me to classify the amount of profit that vehicle makes me every day. And then the insurance would just give me, just add it onto the claim.
Yeah.
No, loss of use gives me a rental transit, an empty shell of a vehicle rental transit. Does nothing for me.
You know,
me.
It sounds like you need a new fucking insurance agent. No. Sounds like you got sold a bill of goods
no,
by
it's just
Mr.
Something
fucking Vic Smedley.
I never asked, right?
Well, he should have told you.
Well.
He's your dad.
Yeah.
I love the guy.
I never asked him to clarify it. Like,
to
I didn't,
be honest,
I didn't get,
to
I
be
didn't
honest,
get deceived. I assume, I told him I want loss of use coverage, and I never asked what it actually pertains to. I thought.
He may not have even known.
Yeah.
Like, he probably doesn't sell a lot of that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, that's a weird thing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just busting your balls. Don't take it so personal.
Other things that you'll have on your P&L.
So mad.
Is other, like, you're going to have technology, you're going to have cell phones, you're going to have utilities and all of those things, right? Those obviously are cost against the business. They should be fairly consistent. Yeah. Like your cell phone plan should be about the same every month. Your utility should be about the same every month. Your shop rent should be about the same and so on. But those are all, everything below the line is a net expense, an expense you have whether you are making sales or not. So then you want to have your net expenses land somewhere around 40% of your top line revenue.
Yeah.
And so that's going to leave you, if you have 55 to 60% gross profit and 40% net expenses, that's going to leave you with 20% net profit. And 20% net profit is the industry leading amount of net profit for a home service company. Okay.
If you're doing that for 2-3 years, you're fucking killing.
You're crushing it.
You are killing it.
So on average, most home service businesses have a net profit of 6 to 7%. And that's pretty abysmal. I mean, it works, but it, like, you could.
HVAC companies are lower. They're always lower. They're more in the 10% range. Always.
Yeah. Your industry leading HVAC companies are going to be 20%.
The amount of companies that are 20% is 1%.
Yes.
But like let's look at, like,
but who doesn't want to be in the top 1%?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, and I know this is probably where you were going with this. If you're at 10%, don't kill yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't say, well, I'm not, Mitch said 20 and I'm not at 20. What the fuck am I going to do?
Treat it as a wake up call.
They're all goals.
Yeah.
There are goals.
Well, these are benchmarks, right? Like, a quarterback's goal is not to throw an interception. However, he's going to screw up. He's going to throw an interception. And then you have to figure out how to overcome that.
Yeah.
Right. And so these are all goals. Top line revenue at 100%. This is what it is. But materials at 15%, field labor at 20%, subs at 5%, gross profit at 55 to 60, marketing at 3 to 6 or 7 to 10, net profit at 20. Those are all benchmarks. Those are all goals. Now, what's funny is there's been a lot of months where I've achieved 20% net profit and I got my ass whipped in some of these areas. But I had such big wins in other areas that they offset, right?
Yeah.
I've had months where my field labor was 25%, but my materials made up for it at only being 10.
Yeah.
Right? So I lost the field labor battle, but I won the material battle. And when you're fighting enough battles, you get enough wins together where you can still amass a win at the end, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, as you are trying to navigate where you're, like, there, a lot of guys don't even look at their P&L. They've never even once pulled a profit and loss statement.
They run off of their bank account. And that's bullshit.
Right.
You guys cannot grow if that's how you run your business.
There's a lot of guys out there that are a one-man show and they have this proverbial amount of money in the back of their head that as long as the business bank account has that much money in it, we're good. And they don't realize that that business bank account should be growing each and every month. Or if it's not growing, the power and size of the business should be growing so that the bank account can grow even faster in future months.
When they quit spending money on the growth of the business. Yes.
Right. And so there are a boatload of people out there that are managing their business through the business bank account. And that's the wrong way to do it. Because if you had 30 grand in the business bank account last month and you finished this month and you still have 30 grand in the business bank account, you didn't grow at all.
Nope.
And so, and if you're only managing it through the bank account, you don't even know where you went wrong. And so that's why it's so important to look at these percentages each and every month so that you can go back and say, like, okay, we didn't grow last month, which is a fail. However, I'm not going to give up. I learned why we didn't grow. My material was high. My labor was high. My marketing was high or whatever. So now I know where to go, right? I turn a failure into a lesson. Now I go fix those things. And I'll have profit in the future.
What? And let's, like, there's a caveat in there, right? Like, if all you want to do is work for yourself and be a one man show and keep 30 to 50 in the bank account while paying yourself 150 a year or 180, that doesn't mean it's not a success.
Right.
But we're talking about businesses that are trying to grow and put more trucks on the road, not just being one or two.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing that, like, don't think you're a failure. Because you're still successful. Yeah. You're just not in the growth phase that we're talking about here.
Well, it's a risky move.
I mean,
I look at it as risky because, like, if you're a one man show and not positioning yourself to grow, and you fall off a ladder and break your leg and you're down for 6 weeks,
well,
you have no money coming in and no way to have money coming
in. Well, let's be honest. Like, a devil's advocate, if you've got Aflac, you're fine. If you don't, if your quality of life is improved because you don't like having employees and you're making $150 a year and you're keeping that money in there and you're happy doing that,
yeah.
That's not a failure.
No,
that's not. You know what I mean? That's not.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't be happy with that. I'm just saying to me that's a risk. I'd like layers of redundancy to where, like, when I lose a truck, I'm not totally fucked. I still got four on the road, right? If I lose an employee, I'm not totally fucked. I got more of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's like, that's perspective, right?
Yeah.
Like, if people don't want that, that doesn't mean it's, you know, not what you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
If that makes sense. So.
So
I just wanted to say that
ultimately the purpose of today's show was basically to tell you guys some,
we're like 1:15. Yeah. I only looked at the clock twice today. Great show, buddy.
The
good stuff.
The idea of business is to grow, right? Is to do better each month, do better each quarter, and do better each year. But what gets measured improves. And so if we're not measuring and we're not tracking any of these things, then we're just running blind. And we're letting our bank account tell us how much is in there.
Yeah.
And then here's the ultimate most dangerous position is that scenario where most business owners have this proverbial amount of money in their bank account. Eventually your business grows like somehow miraculously enough to where that proverbial amount of money in your bank account isn't enough to cover your tax burden. And now you're really fucked.
Well, if you're not paying attention to that, that's a whole nother story.
It's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother talk.
But it all rolls in together that if you're paying attention to your profit and loss statement, you're absolutely paying attention to your projected tax burdens that are coming up.
Yeah. We should have the next show should be about that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Projected tax burdens.
Maybe. We'll throw that around.
I mean, the only problem with shows like these, it's not a problem. It's a lot of numbers and a lot of information.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to digest when you're rolling down the road.
Right. So,
but it's important, man. It's important.
If this conversation excited you, if this got you thinking about things, if this got you invigorated to grow your company and everything else, this is literally a lot of what we talk about inside of Tradewinds, right?
Fucking every day.
A self-employed person brags about the water heater they installed or the tile that they set, right? A business person brags about their new marketing initiative or how full their schedule is or this new benefit they're rolling out to their employees. And so
bonus check this month, baby.
And we're all in different spots on the timeline, right? I once was a self-employed individual. I'm now a business owner, right? When it was just me, I was self-employed. Now that we have 10 employees, I own a business, right? And so we're all in different spots. And so the idea, well, we're not chastising self-employed people.
No.
And we're not praising business owners. But your goal should be to gravitate from self-employed to business owner if that's the nature of your work.
If you're self-employed, there's no reason you can't look at the numbers the exact same way as someone that is a business owner.
You absolutely should be.
Say a giant job comes along one day and you're like, man, I'm forced to hire 3 employees. You're ready.
Yeah.
You know, you know the numbers, you're ready.
Right.
And then that job runs on 3 months and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I think I'm just going to roll with this.
Right.
You're already prepared.
Yeah. The other analogy that I use for looking at your P&L monthly, a month is like one unit of time in a business, right? And the reason I say that is because your vehicle payments are monthly, your lease payments are monthly, like all of your monthly expenses
Insurances
happen.
Monthly.
And so that 1 month cycle is like...
Interest is monthly.
Yeah.
That's really why we do it.
Yeah. And so the 1 month cycle is kind of your one unit of time. Well, how are you going to win a full year, which is 12 units of time? How are you going to win the year if you're not tracking each month?
If you can't win the month.
Imagine if you're playing on a football field and you didn't study any game film, you didn't study why a play worked, and you didn't study why a play failed. And you waited until you got your ass handed to you at the end and you lost 68-0. And then you went back and looked at the first play of the game and be like, wow, that guy was busting through the line every time. Right?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you run a business.
We've got to make a change here, peeps.
Yeah. That's what happens when you run a business without looking at your P&L each month.
Yeah.
Is you were getting your ass handed to you for something that happened in January and you never looked at the P&L to realize it. and you waited a full 12 months to realize there was a mistake that you could have fixed 11 months ago.
Yeah.
And so now there's 11 months of that mistake's value and profit that's gone.
Yeah.
Because you weren't simply looking at the reports.
Yeah. And not even the negative side, the positive side. Hey, I started making this advertisement and it paid off.
Right.
Well, you quit in February.
Right.
Because you didn't know.
Because you didn't know. You felt like it wasn't working.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? If you took January's and you times it by 6 fucking months,
yeah.
Guess where you're at now?
Right.
Because you looked at February.
Right. Yeah.
Wins and losses is why you have to look at it monthly.
There's no room for feelings and emotions in business. If we're operating our business off of, I feel like, it seems like, I sure think this type of statements, you're going to lose every time. So what you have to do instead of saying, I feel like this marketing isn't working, what's the data tell you? The data tells you the marketing isn't working, then it's not working. If the data tells you it is working, then you need to look and like, oh, wow, why did I feel like it
wasn't?
Why
did I fuck that shit up? Oh, my sales were down. I didn't convert those sales. Now I know where to focus. Where do I have to focus?
Right.
On making sales, whether it be me, one of my guys missed all his numbers, whatever.
Right.
The marketing was working.
Right.
Don't shut it off.
Right.
Fix the sales problem.
Yeah. And so like if you manage your business by the profit and loss statement, you will absolutely have profit at the end of each month and at the end of each quarter and at the end of each year.
Yeah.
If you're managing your business by the bank account, don't be surprised if at the end of this year, your bank account's got just as much money in it as it did at the end of last year.
That's right.
And you wasted an entire year's worth of opportunity to grow and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
So for more info on stuff like this, check out Tradewinds. Shoot me a message. Shoot Dave a message. You can email us, askmitch@mitchsmedley.com or David@tradewindsconsulting.com or Mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com. You can just check out tradewindsconsulting.com.
Or winningintheTrades.com.
Or winningintheTrades.com. It automatically forwards over.
Yeah. It is cooler. It does sound cooler.
You can also find us on social media. I'm most active on Facebook, and so that's Mitch Smedley with the blue check. And David is Hilton David.
I will say this. If you message me personally, I'm on top of those.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I love it. Have three beers sitting there at night. People message me all the time. Hey, what do you think about this?
I walked into the gym today and like literally just sat down at the first machine and one of our Tradewinds members sent me a message and said, hey, do you have time for a phone call?
Yeah.
I didn't even do one set. I got up from the machine, walked to a quiet place and called him. Like I'm super active on my phone and getting back to people as fast as possible because I don't like any loose ends hanging out there. So
preach.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Love you guys.